Hello again and welcome to another edition of App Hack Monday. If you've got any questions, comments about the show, please use the hashtag App Hack Monday. Today we're talking about building better quality applications. I'm joined by Gemma Youssef and Andrew Spooner, who are both evangelists at Microsoft focusing on UX and design. And I'm going to go and try and build a sample application implementing their sage advice. Now, before we dive into the conversation, let's take a look at this week's app gallery and let's hope we do a better job of the presentation this week. If you have an app that you'd like to be part of the app gallery, let us know on the Twitters using the hashtag AppHackMonday. Okay, so back to Windows 8 design. Get your Crayolas at the ready, sharpen your paintbrushes and wash out your pencils because we are about to get deep into design. So, Andrew, Windows modern design, it's all about sticking stuff in boxes. Is that's right?
Well, but putting stuff in boxes isn't a bad start, and I think that's one of the things that actually helps developers create something that looks pretty good. I know that you joke about, do you just put stuff in boxes? But the boxes are there because they form a grid. And grids are important because it means that we understand the hierarchy of the content on the page. It gives different pieces of content a bigger focus. And they also it also means that everything's aligned. And even if you don't notice that something's misaligned, your brain's going to be saying something's not quite right here. So just by putting stuff in boxes, yeah, you're going to start to get some level of alignment there. But I suppose don't think of it as boxes. Think of it as a grid, and you're trying to make sure that your content's laid out on a grid so your headings are aligned and that your images are aligned to the top of the paragraphs, that there's consistent margins between things as well. That's really what the grid gives to people, and that, I think, really gives the people that are using the applications a way of, it gives them a sense of trust in the application because there's no visual awkwardness to it.
Gemma, let me take you back. I remember when Windows 8 came out, it was extremely strict as what you could and couldn't do in terms of UX. Now, it seems to me that it's getting a lot less rigid. When you introduce designers and developers to Windows 8, how do you explain this sort of world to them? And what sort of topics do you cover?
I think that the Microsoft guidance has really changed from when we've introduced Windows 8 to what we have now with Windows 8.1. It's actually become a lot more general around sort of good design, modern design. So we actually cover sort of the principles. So there's five different principles. We also cover personality as well. So if you download any of the Windows 8 applications, such as like ESPN, maybe a Disney story, personality, the typography is so important within that in order to get the brand across. But it still looks and feels like a Windows application.
Andrew, when you encounter a developer, what would you say was the most common problem they have when it comes to designing a Windows 8 app?
So a lot of those workshops or sort of UX sessions that I have developers coming along and they've got some great content or some great data and they've bound it with one of our templates, but they've put no sort of personality or brand into the application. So it's really about trying to make sure that they've got something that helps their visual identity pop and stand out from other applications, certainly other applications which might be similar within our stores.
So both you and Gemma have talked about brand and personality. Now, I sort of know what you mean, but what sort of pragmatic steps can a developer take to really do that, to create one of those identities?
I suppose my recommendation is usually to try and think of how you come up with some sort of visual identity or brand. And that's made up of a couple of different elements. The first thing I suppose I try and do is come up with a colour scheme. And if you don't have a logo or something, then which would normally inform parts of your colour scheme, then there's a whole load of resources out there on the web that you can lean to in order to pick up some sort of colours. There's the Adobe Cooler website. That's a good place to go. There's sites like colourlovers.com. Or failing that, there was a great one recently, a Tumblr blog, Wes Anderson Palettes. Go and search, Bing, for Wes Anderson Palettes. on Tumblr, and it's someone's taken stills from his films and just picked out the key colours in those scenes, and it just creates a unique identity for you then to work with. Well, if you don't want to do that, use your favourite album cover or something like that.
Favourite album cover, okay, Snooker Loopy. Well, I'll be using that. So we have colour sorted. What's next?
I would look to try and create some sort of iconography or pictogram, mainly because that's across our Windows platform. That's something that we use heavily. And this, again, there's some great resources out there for that. One of my favourites is the Noun Project. You can go in there. If your application's anything to do with search and, or finding something, just type in search, and you'll come back with a load of icons around search. If you're anything to do with cars or automotive, then just type that in and you get a load of icons back. And there's usually something you can use within there. And for actually, for the price of those, you can't go wrong. You're talking a couple of dollars for someone's time to that they've put into creating those icons, which you can then use in your application.
Okay, we have colour, we have icons. What's my next step?
You can take a look at typography. Typefaces have their own personality, much in the same way as image styles do and as colours do. You can get typefaces which are incredibly sort of mature and legalese, or typefaces which are quite comic and inject a little bit of fun. Maybe you don't want to use that across the whole of your application, but if you think about it in a lot like we did the early days on the web, sometimes we'd convert maybe our headings to images and drop those in there. Ideally, you want to be using vector graphics with these things, but if you want to introduce a little bit of personality through font usage, then that's a good thing to do. Just be careful about what you choose and make sure you've got a license to package it or repackage it digitally if that's the route you choose to go down. If you take a look at some famous brands like the Marks and Spencers, if you see a piece of light Helvetica font in green on a black background, you don't have to have the Marks and Spencers logo on there. You know that that's Marks and Spencers. So sometimes just by use of a good typographic style and coupled with a good colour scheme, that can be quite a large part of your brand.
Now, I always find fonts really difficult to pick, but let's say we have a nice font. Is there anything else that I need to go and do to give this app that visual identity that you sort of talked about earlier?
Something that I find helps to differentiate applications, or at least try and break up the grid structure to it. Try and see where you can throw in maybe a bit of imagery to the background. And that might just be like a large circle thrown into the background. It could just be a couple of shapes. Maybe it's part of your icon that you've gone to the Noun Project for, and you've taken that bit of that, blown it up. Just to try and add a little bit of depth maybe to the background and make it seem like there's not a constant, just one constant colour across it.
So colour, icons, fonts, backgrounds. Is there anything else that you'd add to that, Gemma?
Motion is so important as well. Taking the example of Windows 8 application, a lot of people feel that if they're tucking something away in a bottom app bar, nobody's going to see it. But actually, if you have a bottom app bar always exposed and someone comes to that, they'll never actually notice it. But maybe when you come into a screen where you can interact, you could, as a developer, invoke the app bar for a couple of seconds. That motion is going to draw somebody's eyes to that app bar and actually, weirdly, make it more discoverable.
So it seems a lot of this is researching what other people have done and then emulating some of that. Is researching apps something that you do a lot of, or would you recommend, Gemma?
Of course. Through that, you would want to sort of download as many applications as that you can to see how they might go about doing certain things. Like, there's a lot of customers, for example, might want to have a filter and a sort within their application. There's a number of different ways that you can do that within the Windows application. So, for example, some people use header menus where you're able to sort and filter, and other people might use the bottom app bar where you can tap on that command, a lightweight fly out comes out. Some people might use it where they will actually sort and filter it by groups and create more of that grid structure, and then you can kind of pinch to zoom out using semantic zoom in order to jump across those different groups.
The problem I have is, as a developer, I often skip that research piece and drive straight into Visual Studio. So what do you think, Spooner? Is that a good strategy for app design?
It's not a good strategy for designing an application. It's a good strategy for proving a technical concept. If the hook of your application requires you to prove something technically, then it's a great place to start. However, everything I do starts with post-it notes, it starts with sketches. If you're trying to monetize your application, for instance, it's important to recognize the user flow throughout the application. As in, if you're going to try and persuade me to part with my money, you've got to make it very clear up front what the benefit of me giving you my money is going to get within that application. And I think if the moment of design starts within Visual Studio, you're not going to have a clear objective for the user in that sort of context.
Gemma, is there an application that you'd say represented some of the ideas well? Is there like one app that you'd say embodied all of these principles?
I would recommend people go and have a look at Pepper, which is a music social app. My customer that I worked with, he was a developer as well. He didn't get any help from any design agency, but he's really created what I think is a beautiful design. And also check out the Semantic Zoom. Really cool.
Okay, that's up on the screen now. And there you go. Semantic Zoom is indeed very cool. And so my final question is to you, Andrew. If you had £200 to spend on improving your application, of all the things you've mentioned today, where would you spend that cash?
What's that? I would spend it on where I recognise my weakness to be. Some people have got great eyes, they can choose colour. Some people, if you're completely colourblind, you're not going to have much luck with that. So it would be worth just recognising where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, and pay someone to cover for your own weaknesses.
Thanks to Gemma and Andrew for joining me. If you have any more questions for those two, please use the hashtag AppHackMonday. Next up, we're going to try and apply some of those principles to a simple app I'm going to go and build now. So let's get hacking. So I wanted to try and build an application based upon or using some of the concepts that Andrew talked about. So color, icons, type, typography and fonts, and backgrounds. I had to think about the application I wanted to build, and I chose to do something which I use all the time and I'd like to be improved, which is I use this character map all the time, and I use it because there's a font called Sego UI Symbol which contains a ton of really useful symbols which you can use in your applications, excuse me, as icons. So I wanted a way of getting to this information easier than what it is with character map, because there's a lot of scrolling with character map. It's not particularly touch friendly, and I think it could be done better. So once I'd got the idea of what I wanted to create, the application I wanted to create, I knew that I needed to just be able to select an item, select that item, copy that item, and then so I could then paste that into using it into my application. Now it's important here to mention, I've built this kind of application, but over the next week I'm going to be adding more and more to it, and I'd love your help with that. So if you want to help build this application, it's on GitHub. It's over at GitHub. Actually, if you use the URL apphack.co.uk/code/6, then you will join the be able to go to the GitHub site and see the all the code there. And it'd be great if you could join me, maybe help add ideas to the project, or take the project and fork it. And the idea being next Monday, I'll have published this application already into the store, so you'll be able to see it. So I thought about this idea of creating a sort of modern, a modern character map. Now, I didn't want it to be a full character map. I actually built one of those before, and to do that, you actually need to use DirectX to kind of get a lot of the symbol information from the font and Unicode. I didn't want to make it that complex. So actually, I just decided to focus on one font, that's Sego UI, and to enable this idea of being able to find symbols inside Sego UI that you might then use for sort of tiles or icons for your applications. The thing that struck me when we were speaking to Andrew about this, when he mentioned album covers, and the show used to be called Happy Mondays because of the Happy Mondays. And this got me thinking about the Hacienda, that Manchester club scene. And the Hacienda has this really strong yellow-black colour theme, which I really love and I wanted to emulate here. I think it also lends itself to this application because lots of the things around... Andrew does this great thing called Conversations. You can go to the App Store and download this app called Conversations. It's a huge app because it's actually these beautiful videos which have been put together in Dolby 5.1 surround sound. But Conversations has one particular video in it where he interviews a gentleman about wayfinding at an airport, and how if you look at a lot of those signs, it's always yellow on black because they're really distinctive, and it's easy to spot amongst all the clutter the rest of the clutter in the airport. So I just love this idea of yellow, black, a really simple kind of wayfinding almost colour scheme, which meant something to me from the Happy Mondays and the Happy Mondays sort of thing. So I took this base colour, this yellow, and thought about how I could add black, deep black objects and blocks to this application. So got the colour. Next I thought about fonts. If we go over to the application, you'll see I chose this font called Bibas New. And I chose it because it's really sort of blocky and big. So you get a lot of black when you use black on the yellow. You see a lot of the black. And I thought that was quite nice because it sort of stood out against the background. I added the background color, which I chose, the yellow color. And I added some grid elements and basically broke up the site in the same way as that you would do a standard default application. So I added 128 pixels to the side and kind of done a little bit of space for the header and then put a grid in the middle of the application. The idea being that the grid would contain all of the symbols from the character map, and then you would be able to select one of those elements and copy that and then use it in another application. The other thing I did was I added an SVG image, which we'll come back to later, to the backdrop of the application as well. So if I start this application up, I've not got to the default splash screen yet. Here's my application. It's a grid. It's using this font, this Bibas New font, and it's using this really strong black on yellow theme. And you'll notice in the background, very subtly, there is an SVG image, a diagonal SVG image. So all of this stuff came from really these few images. If I go back, these two images which I found and a few others which inspired me, and then this other image which I found from Hacienda 30, which was just this diagonal thing which I actually then sort of tried to recreate inside of Inkscape using SVG and placed in the background of the application. So just go back to the app. The other thing I did was when you selected, obviously these symbols are nice, it's nice to view them like this, and there's certainly something I could do with the alignment here, which I'm going to work on a little bit. But say we like that heart symbol. If I click on it, I try to bring in this concept of motion that Gemma was talking about, so that there is a little bit of animation going on as you select different items. And as you select it, it reveals the hexadecimal codes for that particular icon. And again, there's some work needs to be done here to make this clear about what those actually mean. But fundamentally, this is the Unicode, the HTML, and the CSS sort of code that you can use in your applications to create this image if you were using that font. So that's kind of interesting. What is interesting about this animation is that I don't use any JavaScript to achieve it. It's all done using CSS3 transitions, and I'll show you a little bit about that in a moment. And then we have this swipe from the bottom thing here, which is the classic Hacienda diagonal element. So I can select an item on the grid and then copy the symbol and then use it in another application. This diagonal section across the bottom here is actually all created in CSS as well. So I've got this CSS animation going on here, got this CSS diagonal thing going on here. So let's have a look at how I've done those two things. One thing you should know about the grid is that when an element is selected on that grid, it applies a CSS class to the grid, and that's how the difference, the little tick in the corner, how that's applied. It's using CSS. And because they add this CSS class onto it, we can take advantage of that and we can animate against it. So you'll see I have a triangle here, or it's a class called TRI. And if we look at my default HTML inside of the template for each grid item, I have this div called try. And this is that black section. So the actual tile is completely transparent. But then I wanted to create this little black section with a little cutoff on the corner that when you touched it would retract into the top left-hand corner. And so how I achieved that was I created a square, give it a width and height of 400. And then I offset it so that it was minus 200 pixels and minus 200 from the top. And what that means is that the center of the square is then at the top left-hand corner of the grid item. I then used a CSS3 transition to transform, transform it and rotate it by 45 degrees. So it gives, you know, you do it by 45 degrees, so your square is now kind of on its side, is more of a diamond. And then because you can only see the corner of it, it kind of creates this triangular effect. And what that means is that, you know, you have this little lovely clipping on the bottom here where you see the background show through the tile. And then when you clip it, I want the square to reduce. So the way that I do that into the top left-hand corner is, well, the grid applies this, as we were discussing earlier, applies this class WinSelected to it. So why not take advantage of that? And all I do is, if my try is encased inside of WinSelected, or it's inside that class, which it will be if it's selecting, it won't be if it's unselected, then reduce the width, reduce the height, reduce the left and top margins, and because it's still maintaining a rotation of 45 degrees, you'll get this weird, like, kind of strange effect of it just, you know, appearing to swipe across the grid item. It's actually just a square getting smaller. I've done the same with the symbol as well, the actual font here. So I've got a Sega UI symbol, and I have got a one with a font size of 70 and one with a font size of 20. You'll note that I use a thing called transition all. And what that means is that when you go from item symbol, this CSS class, to this CSS class, because they've both got transition all on, it will transition all of the different CSS properties. So that's why it animates. If we didn't have transitions here, the square would just quickly block and quickly change its shape as the different CSS style was applied. But because we have transitions applied, it will actually animate all of the different properties. And this is a really powerful feature, because you can obviously animate things like what I'm doing here, which is the size of the font and the size of the square, but it will also animate things like color, opacity as well. So you can change all sorts of different visual elements on a screen just using CSS, no JavaScript involved to do that animation at all, which is goodness. So the next nice little trick which we've added is this this bottom app bar. And I say it's a trick because ordinarily you might just use an image in there. But what we've done is, in this Hacienda background, is we've used a linear gradient. And the thing to understand about linear gradients is they don't have to be gradients. You can actually create hard colors with them. And what we've done with this linear gradient, we've put it on a 45 degree angle, a minus 45 degree angle actually. And we've said use black till 25%. Use transparent for the next 25%, and to the 50%, and then black, and we've kind of created this sort of black, then transparent, then black, then transparent. And then we've added the color in the background, the yellow in the background. So it's going to go between transparent and black, and then we have this yellowy orange color in the background. So we're going to get these stripe black, orange stripes. And it'll be four, black, orange. Now that, if we applied it to the bottom, wouldn't look great, because we'd have this long bar with black, orange, and that would be it. It wouldn't be this nice tight stripe. However, what we've done is we've changed the background size to 50 by 50 pixels. So what it does is it applies this linear gradient again and again and again in 50 by 50 tiles, basically, to the background. So you end up with this really nice tight stripe, which is, you know, exactly what we want for this particular project. And it means that the cool thing about that is that we don't have an image there. We can change those colors in CSS, and they'll change for the entirety of the application. So you don't have to go back into Photoshop or Fireworks or whatever application you use for design. You can just change all of those colors directly inside of the project because you're using CSS, which I think is awesome. The last thing to note is this SVG image, which I've got in the background. Now, I created that on Spooner's kind of advice. He was saying or suggesting that it was a good idea to use to use SVGs on the background, or sorry, not to use SVGs, to use Sync in the background to just give a little bit of depth. I think Inkscape is a really excellent application for this. And I used it to just to knock up this really simple SVG. So let's take a look at that. So I take here the rectangle tool and I skew that to a 45 degree angle. This is Inkscape that I'm using, by the way. It's the first time I've ever used this application. And it's pretty good. I'm more used to Fireworks, but it has a lot of similar sort of features to Fireworks by Adobe. But obviously Inkscape's free, so that's cool. So I've created these diagonal elements. And I've removed the sections which are in between. I've just used those for spacing. And now what I'll do is try and create a triangle. Now to do this, I used a square. I've made a square with width and height. I've rotated it, and then I've cut, using the path difference tool, a rectangle, which I've placed over the top of the square. And then this leaves me with the difference between the two objects, which is the triangle, a triangle element. I've then resized this triangular element, rotated it, and so forth. And basically what I'm trying to do is replicate the Hacienda logo, which I showed you earlier, or replicate it or sort of make a version of it which is similar. I'm just going to colour these with slightly different colours and transparencies. These transparencies will obviously appear in the actual final image, which is nice. So you won't get a grey image, it'll actually just be sort of varying greys and that yellow mix mixing together when I actually compile it together. And again, I'm going to use the difference tool here to cut the triangle with one of the diagonal lines. And then fundamentally, I'm going to go around this project and I'm just going to use rectangles to cut out different sections and rectangles, and then a triangle to cut out different sections of it to leave me with a finished SVG, which I can then include in my project. So then you just take that SVG image, export it from Inkscape, and then drop it in as you would a JPEG into the background of the application. If you want to work on this application, fork it, change it, redesign it, go over to apphack.co.uk/code/6. That's it for this week's show. Please join us next week when we catch up with Mike Talty and talk about Xamarin. So until then, happy hacking.